It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
How much do you believe this is the year they win a World Series?
They got no shot.
They have no shot. Cashman did not build the right team.
Oh, ha, Yankee baseball, ha.
Yeah.
And in October, Juan Soto's going to draw four walks, and Aaron Judge won't get a single hit behind him, and the Yankees will lose to a team that everybody say, well, they didn't match up. They didn't build the team to beat that team. It's happening.
Just three innings. Three good innings. Can he the bed? Then I got to watch Judge Brett. I saw enough of him in the 70s. Them.
Everything, absolutely everything is wrong with the New York Yankees. The Yankees are broken. Aaron Boone is not the right fit for the Yankees.
We're leaning into kicking ass.
Hit on the ground in the hole. There's a base hit right field. Rounding third is Torres. He's coming home. It's a base hit and an RBI for Juan Soto. Line base hit right field. Verdugo scores. Birdie goes to third. And the Yankees take a 2-0 lead. Ground ball at the middle. Base hit center field. A hot shot. Judge scores. Stanton at first with a ribby single.
How you doing?
A high fly to center. This is it. Judge is there. He makes the catch. Ball game over. American League Division Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
How you doing?
They were pretty good.
How you doing?
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And it's off to the American League Championship Series. And this time, you don't have to go through the Astros. It's like a whole new world. Congratulations to the Yankee fan. They clinched last night against the Kansas City Royals. We got a lot to talk about. We'll find out who they're going to play tomorrow. The Mets are going to find out who they're going to play tonight. We've got a huge football game on Sunday night at MetLife Stadium. We have controversy around the New York football Giants that need to be addressed. It is a very, 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 very busy Friday in New York City. For me, personally, Tiki, sitting down last night watching the Yankees, there is someone I need to tip my hat to.
Yep.
There is somebody in particular that I need to pay the respect to.
Acknowledge him.
There is somebody I most definitely need to acknowledge.
He's your Jesse Winker.
He's my Jesse Winker. No, not really. I think sometimes when a lot of time goes by, you forget. And it is easy to forget why Gerrit Cole is here. He is here because he's an ace. He is here because he's a money pitcher. There aren't a lot of guys on this planet that are true aces and true money pitchers. And it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget because when he pitched to open this series, he wasn't great. It's easy to forget because you think back to the 2022 ALCS. But let this be a reminder. And it was a reminder for me. I'll be the first to raise my hand. This is the advantage that the Yankees have over everybody else. With all due respect to Tarik Skubal and whatever ace you want to come up with, nobody in the Major League Baseball playoffs is as accomplished, has done it before, and is as ace-like as Gerrit Cole. And it wasn't perfect. There was a lot of hard contact against him last night. The stadium helped him out when it looked like Kyle Isbell was hitting a game-tying home run. But I begin by acknowledging that the New York Yankees paid a lot of money for an ace 4 years ago, and last night in a closeout game, he was everything you paid
it's
for.
It's why you go get players like this. It was like when the Dodgers traded for Mookie Betts. You get guys like that for moments like that.
Yes.
And it's ultimately their job to help you win a championship. And Gerrit Cole did that last night. We had all of these conversations yesterday about what combination of pitching rotation should the Yankees go with? Should they just try to win game four? And then maybe if you get to game five, then you have Cole for a closeout game, but it compromises you for the next series if you push forward. You know what? Just win the damn game. Mm. And once when we had McGonagall on at the end of the show.
Who?
he was like, right. He said, basically, just win the damn game.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, we were here for 4 hours, 5 hours yesterday. Get the guy who's going to win you the game. And if you have that guy, you know what? Throw them out there. And that's what you're lucky you can do if you're a Yankee fan.
It's been 4.5 years since the Yankees made, you could argue, one of their most important purchases in the history of the franchise. They bought Gerrit Cole. They bought a guy they didn't beat. They bought a guy that they had to go through in Houston. And they brought him home because he always wanted to be a New York Yankee. And over the course of the last 5 years, there have been some great moments. There have been some mediocre moments. But more times than not, and let last night be a reminder, when the game's on the line, when the season's on the line, when you're playing a big-time postseason game, that's the guy you want to hand a baseball to. Mm-hmm. And look, give a lot of credit to Gleyber Torres, who started the game off with a double. I mean, literally one pitch into the game, the Yankees are set up with a runner on second. Give major credit to Juan Soto, who drove him in promptly. So immediately, you handed your ace a lead and said, go protect it. And that is not an easy environment to pitch in. It is a loud ballpark. The Royals are a good team. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about, well, they're the Royals. The Royals had a good year. And you know what, more importantly than anything? Forget if they're good or not. They're in your way. And when a team's in your way, it doesn't matter if they're awesome. It doesn't matter if they suck. It doesn't matter if they're lucky. It doesn't matter. You have to beat them. And this was not easy over four games. It wasn't easy. But they got the job done. And Gerrit Cole pitching a 1-2-3 inning in the bottom of the first inning after being handed a lead, that's ace-like crap. A 1-2-3 inning in the second inning with a 1-0 lead, that's ace-like crap. Protecting a 1-0 lead until you got some insurance in the fifth and continuing to shut down the Royals until you gave up a double to Pasquantino, but then you got the next hitter out. That next hitter, Salvador Perez. I think a lot of us acknowledge he's a World Series MVP. I still can't sleep at night thinking about him as a World Series MVP. And Gerrit Cole got him to pop up. That's ace-like crap. Then in the seventh inning, he pitched another relatively clean inning. That's ace-like crap. And I'll tell you the other thing that's ace-like crap. If Aaron Boone wanted to, Gerrit Cole could have pitched the eighth inning. If Aaron Boone wanted to, Gerrit Cole could have finished the job last night. And he wasn't dominant per se. He was the scientist that he always is. His slider got hit in his last start. Mm-hmm. He shelved the slider.
Right.
And there was some hard contact against him, but he got the job done. So to me, as you guys advance to the ALCS, for only the fourth time in 12 years, this is not the 90s anymore, as much as some people like to talk as if it is. Getting to the ALCS, even when you're the big bad Yankees, is special. It is allowed to be cherished. You got there last night, headline, because your ace delivered in a closeout game.
Right. It's the beauty of having an ace. And Sean came into this show. Did you do that music to start the show, Sean?
The great Paul R. Zuman put that together. I picked the song, though.
It was 1990-something. I wasn't even here yet.
96, baby. That was nostalgic.
The How You Doing song?
The How You Doing. I was like, what in the hell is this? I've never heard that.
That's you don't know Joey Balls and Carmanucci?
I have no idea. I was not here.
You know what I was saying?
I was in Virginia. I was going into my senior year at the University of Virginia.
To the Yankee fans who heard that open and very well produced by the great Paul R. Zuman, Sean Morash, Tommy Lugau, all contribute to that. I think for those who get it, good for you. It's nostalgic.
But what are you trying to draw on?
How you doing?
What are you drawing upon?
Because once upon a time, the Yankees had a cute little song we all rallied around. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I see what's going on.
And
now it's time for our party, Tiki.
Did they rally around it like the Mets rallied around
did.
OMG?
The fans did. You could turn on a radio station in New York.
Did it get a remix like OMG got remixed?
No.
It did.
No. And Mariano Duncan wasn't singing.
By the way, the reason I liked How You Doing is not even the nostalgia of it. I respect that for Yankee fans. The How You Doing is, hey, Yankee fans, how you doing? This is a fan base that has been very, very critical of everything about this franchise as displayed in that open. And I understand it, by the way. I understand why Sean felt the way he felt, why Brandon felt the way he felt. Like, I get that. And here you are in the ALCS. So, Yankee fans, it is a very fair question. How you doing?
Exhale time, baby!
Were you really holding your breath?
You know what it was? I realized today, as my fat ass walked the dog around the block singing How You Doing, that I think so many Yankee fans were so tight, including me, because, yes, the World Series is the big dream. These Yankees couldn't go down in an ALDS. And some, including the Game 2 loss, it felt like the bad Yankee losses of the past. But seeing an ace shove the Royals in a locker, seeing, and we'll get to it, Jazz Chisholm and Anthony Volpe having a little stones going at the Royals, and seeing guys come up with big at-bats, and credit to Aaron Judge, too, got on base three times last night, it felt like a little Yankee magic was restored with that advancement to the ALCS.
Well, you have a path. That's really the truth of it, because I don't know who's winning this other series, this other DS series between, they moved this game, this other DS series between the Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians, but you have a path. And it seems like you've gotten this bullpen situation sorted out. Clay Holmes has turned into being one of the great setup men.
Yeah.
After making an all-star as a closer.
This series, and it's only four games, and there's a long way to go. I think everybody with the New York Yankees acknowledged that. But through four games, there was a lot of vindication amongst New York Yankees in this series. One of the vindications you just pointed out is Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes was utterly brilliant. I mean, look at last night. He comes into this game protecting just a tiny two-run lead, and he's got to go 9-1-2. He puts one guy on base. You're talking about the heart of the order. With two outs and nobody on, you got to go through an MVP candidate and Bobby Witt Jr. Clay Holmes lost his closer's job. He's never allowed a postseason run. He's been great since they moved him out of the closer's job. He had some vindication in this series where he didn't allow a run. Vindication for Clay Holmes. Vindication for Giancarlo Stanton, who did it again.
Yeah.
Two more hits, an RBI single in the sixth inning, a big one to give them another run.
Yeah, I don't want to hear any more hate on Giancarlo Stanton.
It should be dead forever.
It's all done.
Vindication for Giancarlo Stanton. I know it didn't happen in this game, but how about going back to the first game? Vindication for Alex Verdugo. But maybe the ultimate vindication so far came from the manager. Because the manager now has to use major strategery with his bullpen. And whether it's Tommy Kahnle, not last night, whether it's Clay Holmes in the eighth inning last night, or Clay Holmes to come into a middle of an inning, we saw that previously in this series, whether it's Luke Weaver being the closer, whether it's John Birdie starting at first base over Oswaldo Cabrera, something I admit I criticized yesterday. Aaron Boone so far, four games, long way to go. He's pressing those buttons
He's
well.
He's pressing the correct buttons, right. And yeah, I can't get over how different you feel about Clay Holmes right now than you did a month ago because you were done with him. I mean, obviously there was value to his use on this team, but you were done with him emotionally because of all of the blown saves. But you put him in a better role for him because he never felt like a closer. He never felt like he had swing and miss stuff. He never felt like he could go get three immediate outs and just walk off the mound victorious. But you put him in a setup role, he's thriving. And I don't know if it's humility and being demoted, but he works better in this role. Three up, three down last night. Same thing with Luke Weaver, who has been a marvel as a closer that nobody thought of at the beginning of the season. I'd like to go back to Sean's list that we threw out. Do you still have that list, Sean?
I can find it.
The list, by the way, that Tiki's referring to, this was all the way back in April, was who's likely to be the closer for the Yankees come October.
One of them was a troll job because he said Edwin Diaz.
Right.
But on the serious side, because I think you redid it when it was more serious.
Oh, I did one in September, yeah.
And I don't think Luke Weaver was one of them.
I don't think he was either.
So it's crazy to think about from a fan, like visualizing what this Yankee team is going to look like. Who has a vault? Now, Clay Holmes, Garrett Cole has been there for the entirety, missed time. But we knew who Garrett Cole was. But everything else was kind of, all right, what is Nestor going to be? Do we trust Rodon? What's the closing situation going to look like? Nobody expected it to be where it is right now, heading into the DLCS.
I think the crazy part about Luke Weaver, and Luke Weaver is such an important cog to this. Like, think about this, Yankee fans. You're eight wins away from winning a championship. From this team, this 2024 Yankee team, living forever in your memory as a champion, the way the 96 team does, the way the 2009 team does. If you're a little bit older, the 77 or the 78 team does. And the guy who's going to be on the mound to secure you a world championship is not Mariano Rivera. It's a guy named Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver is a 31-year-old journeyman failed starting pitcher. That's his resume. That's who he is. And I know that sounds kind of douchey to call him that. That's what he is. And now he's taken that as journeyman failed starting pitcher. And I don't know. He's just become one of the most reliable relievers in baseball. And he's earned that. Like, since he's been moved into that closer's role in early September, along with the demotion of Clay Holmes, do you know how many earned runs Luke Weaver's given up? Zero.
Zero.
Yeah. In the role.
He's been unbelievable. Last night, with a two-run lead in the ninth inning in a rocking ballpark like Kauffman Stadium against 4, 5, and 6 of the order, including a former World Series MVP, with a two-run lead, Luke Weaver proceeded to not throw a ball out of the strike zone. Bing, 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 strikeout. Bing, 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 strikeout.
Lazy fly ball to center field. You couldn't even get settled to get worried before Luke Weaver got the three outs.
Right.
So a part of this journey has been they found their closer, and they found it in the most insane, surprising way.
The best part is, Tiki and I have definitely had this conversation, Evan, when you allude to scoring games last September when everybody was checked out. This is why we should be watching in lost seasons in September, because little-known Luke Weaver was claimed off waivers to eat some innings finish a season.
Great point.
And now he's throwing the most important outs for his team en route to hopefully a World Series.
Incredible. Aaron Boone managed his ass off. Gerrit Cole was the ace. Giancarlo Stanton got clutch hits. Now, Aaron Judge is waking up. He got on base three times. He had that double in the sixth inning and came around to score. So it hasn't been the explosion yet, but you can feel him waking up. And that's why it is the perfect song. Yankee fans, on this Friday, as you get set to play in the American League Championship Series and face a team not named the Houston Astros for the first time in an LCS since 2012, how you doing? Are you relieved? Are you pumped? Because that's the weird thing about the Yankee fan right now. The Met fan is pumped up. They're on a cloud. Are Yankee fans like, we made it.
Right.
Now what?
I think now that they're here, the Yankee fan is saying, we were supposed to be here.
Mm.
This is exciting, obviously, because you're in a CS again. And you're not facing the Astros, as you keep pointing out. But it ultimately is, we were supposed to be here. We started the season as strong as we did. We're supposed to be here. We got a great draw in the postseason after earning the number one overall seed. We're supposed to be here. And then all of a sudden, you look at the other DS series, and it's like, okay. We're supposed to not just be here. We're supposed to be in the World Series. Mm. I think that's what the Yankee fan is thinking right now.
We'll get to your calls. How are we feeling on this Friday with the Yankees advancing to the American League Championship Series? The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. There is a ton to get to today. A lot from last night's game, including the flap that we saw between Anthony Volpe and Mikel Garcia, what actually happened, the moment where Bob Costas even lost me as a Bob Costas stan. We'll look ahead to the upcoming ALCS and upcoming NLCS, and we got a lot of Giant football to get to, because very quietly, their season has been turned around, and they have a huge Sunday night contest with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
As I was watching the Yankee game last night, all I could think about was Sean Morash's Cinco de Fivo, and the number one thing on his list for why the Yankees needed to close out the Royals last night was because he didn't want to hear Bob Costas again. And I was deeply offended when he said it, because I love Bob Costas. I think he's taken a lot of crap over the last week, most of it undeserved. But I have to admit that even I, a Bob Costas stan, he lost me last night. And what's crazy is he lost me when the game ended. So the game ends, the Yankees win, and that's when he finally said something that caused me to join the chorus of Yankee fans and baseball fans that were mad at Bob Costas. Would you like to hear what it was?
Yes, let's hear this.
Ladies and gentlemen, TBS last night, Bob Costas.
In the history of the franchise, the most successful franchise in baseball history by far, they finished first 50 times, either in the league or in the American League East, once they went to divisions. Plus, they were a wild card 9 times, counting this year.
A wild card like this year? You can't say that, Bob. Hmm. That's the geek in me. You guys get offended by 100 million other things. You can't offend my geekdom, Bob. The Yankees were not a wild card. Don't call them a wild card. Very disrespectful. He lost me, Teak.
Right. They had the best record in the American League.
That's right.
I mean, did he not know that?
He called them a wild card.
Did he do games 1 and 2 in the Bronx?
Yeah. He lost me on that one.
Yeah, he was rambling. I mean, that was like such a convoluted stat. I couldn't follow it.
Oh, you were lost by the time you got to that.
I was lost by he got to the wild card part. It's like, what? Huh?
Is he
talking about the Yankees?
Yeah. The other thing I did notice about Bob, and this was a caller's fault. So yesterday, a caller called up and said that Bob did something that annoyed them, and it broke the glass, because I heard it constantly last night. Every single time Aaron Judge came up, it was a soliloquy about how bad he's been in the postseason. Over and over again. Even after he
historically
walked,
or recently?
Historically, since 2022. Like, he touched on everything. Like, every stat was broken down. And I obviously, it's true. Like, I'm not disagreeing with him, but it felt like it was such a constant that it became over the top. And I don't know if it's the caller's fault for just kind of
telling me that that bothered him, and now I was paying even closer attention to it. But, dude, we get it. I mean, Aaron Judge hasn't been a great postseason player. I'm not arguing with you, but, I mean, are we obsessed at what?
Did you hear, by the way, that the Yankees have told Giancarlo Stanton to pull back running hard? Because I got that 14 times, too, over the beginning. Also, Evan, I'm going to say it. I'm going to bring it up. Bob Costas punted him to the moon in the ninth inning. We are, three outs away from an elimination, and he decided to teach America, what 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon was?
He did?
Yeah, here we go.
I forgot that already.
It's not buffering. Nice.
Stand by, please.
I did push play, but there's a nice circle here.
So it's the ninth inning of an elimination game.
Yeah.
A close game, by the way. It's 3-1. So it's not exactly like 12-2. You know, it's 12-2. You take your liberties and you say to yourself, we're going to have some fun. We don't have to necessarily focus on every detail of this game. 3-1, ninth inning. Elimination game, my guy, because I do love him, Bob Costas decided to play the Kevin Bacon game.
I was talking with Aaron Boone before the game, and I said to him, you know that game, that movie game, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, how supposedly you can connect anybody who's ever been in the film business to Kevin Bacon in 6 moves or less? I said, you won't even need 6 moves to connect Aaron Boone to almost everybody, certainly since the midpoint of the 20th century, which goes back to his grandfather with the Cleveland Indians in 1948. His brother Brett and his dad Bob Boone, who played toward the end of his illustrious career as a Gold Glove catcher and later was a manager, played with the Royals in the last 2 years of his career, 89 and 90. And Boone remembers loving that Royals team with George Brett and Brett Saberhagen and Bo Jackson and Kevin Seitzer. And so the clubhouse guy here goes into a closet and comes up with Bob Boone's powder blue 1990 Kansas City Royals.
What is happening?
Oh, shut up.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you.
He was still going.
Still going. There's 3 outs left of an elimination. And what that was a minute soliloquy to tell you, hey, I'm going to mention George Brett's name one more time.
You know what that was? You know what I think happened here? I don't think you do this as a broadcaster, but you probably have like a list of things. Hey, I want to hit on all this stuff. Right?
Oh, yes.
I think he realized between the pitch clock and the fact that it was the fourth game and it was about to end, he's like, I didn't get to some of my good material.
Yeah, no, dude, I feel this. Last week, I told you this. We wanted to get in the fact that Sexy Dexy's wife is an executive chef.
That's right. I remember you saying that.
We wanted to get it in, but it was late in the game, and there was no way to get it in. And then he gets a sack.
Perfect.
At the end of the game. And we're like, oh, yeah, and his wife's an executive chef. It's hard to deal with him. Like, I know what Bob was trying to do, but it's got to be shorter.
Yeah.
Right? Well, if you're going to tell that story, everybody knows 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Everybody knows it. You don't need to explain the story. And then go on and tell why Aaron Boone and his family are better than 6 degrees because of how expansive, I guess, his relationships, his family's relationships have been.
That's a, you know what that is? That's a story for the third inning of game 2.
No, that's a story for a podcast.
Or bingo!
So, Tiki, I don't know if it was Tiki or Sean, but you brought up a great point. I think we've discovered why Bob Costas has lost a step. It's not age. It's the pitch clock.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely effective.
In the 90s, you had 3 minutes between pitches to tell the story.
You know what?
Now you don't.
That's a very astute observation, Tommy. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, he's been affected by it.
Right, he's used to being able to tell a story. And now you can't because the pitch is coming.
Goes too quick.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what affected
that's
him.
That's interesting thought.
But here's the good news, Yankee fans. You're in the ALCS, and you don't have to hear Bob Costas again unless you want to watch the Ken Burns special, Baseball, in which he does a great job, as does Buck O'Neill, who got a lot of time last night on the program as well. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. How are we feeling? You have now advanced 4 wins away from your first World Series since 2009. Mike is in White Plains. How you doing, Mike?
Yo, Evan and Tiki, what's up, guys? Thank you for taking my call.
What's up?
Listen, Garrett, Stone Cold Cole is what I'm going to call him from now on. There was a camera shot of him last night, and the look in his eyes, he was locked in. And I just want to say a couple things. One thing, Yankees, one thing, Giants. Back for the Yankees. You know, Evan, I've heard you talk about DVRing games, and I never thought or never wanted to do that, but my 11-month-old wouldn't go to sleep, so I DVR'd the game last night,
right. And
I put it on. And to tie into Bob Costas, I almost put the game on mute because it was so bad. Like Morash was just saying, Aaron Judge, you know, in the postseason, not effective, was down our throats all night. It was a tough listen, to say the least. One thing about Malik Nabers that I want to touch on is, I think it was in week two when he caught that pass along the sideline and took a big hit, and he got right up. I thought in that moment he had a concussion. I was actually surprised he bounced right back up.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's out again and still out, obviously, from the last one, I'm starting to wonder, like, because, you know, you see the reports that are out, and obviously what you guys are probably going to touch on.
Right. Yep. Yeah, we'll get to that later. But you're talking about repeated concussions.
Well, he could have gotten it then.
Right, he could have. Yeah. And you don't. And some people wonder why it's lingering. And usually when they, I don't say usually because I don't know the mechanics of everybody's brain, but sometimes repeat concussions are harder to recover from.
Right.
And so you may be right.
But aren't concussions also like, sometimes when you get sick, it's easy. Or you break a bone, it's easy. You go for an MRI, yeah, and it's like, yep, you broke a bone, okay. Isn't diagnosing a concussion, like, very difficult? It's not as black and white as a leg injury or an elbow injury?
Of course, because something non-related could affect your concussion symptoms.
Right.
So, for instance, you get a concussion, you come back the next day or two, and maybe you haven't drank enough water, or you haven't slept well, so you're tired and dehydrated, and now you have a headache. And in your mind, it's probably just a headache because you're tired or dehydrated. But it also could be a concussion symptom.
Right, right.
So it's complicating to know cause and effect from concussions, and everybody reacts the same. There is no simple diagnostic tool for concussions.
Yeah.
I know they make you take that baseline test, but as you know, Peyton Manning told us 15 years ago, you can manipulate that.
Right, right, right.
And so,
it's possible he suffered that concussion earlier.
Right, it's possible, and it's possible that this thing could linger for longer than anybody thought it would.
Now, he mentioned our last caller DVRing the game because his 11-month-old wouldn't go to sleep. That is also another great, great feature of DVRing games. Mm. We have kids, or at least some of us have kids, and sometimes you can't control when your kid wakes up with a nightmare, or you got to change the diaper, or whatever you've got to do. And I don't know about everybody else. I don't want to miss pitches, especially in the postseason. I don't want to miss anything. And that's where the pause button is the greatest invention in the history of sports. Because there was a time, 20, 30 years ago, you just miss it.
Right.
Like, it is what it is. Oh, okay. Kid's got a crap. Like, what are you going to do? You miss it. So that is another, besides like being able to do other things, or you're coming home from work and it's an afternoon game, whatever other reason, that is another great example of where DVRing games, even if you only fall behind by like 10 minutes or 20 minutes or a half hour, it's important. And it worked for our last caller, and he was able to probably catch up and then celebrate defeating the Kansas City Royals with everybody else. John's in Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Just real quick on the Bob Costas thing, there's a guy online who figured out if you delay the Odyssey broadcast with Sterling, it equals up perfectly about 20-second delay, so that way you can view the actual live broadcast.
That is perfect. Now, coming up in the next series, it's Brian Anderson, Jeff Francoeur, and Ron Darling. It's up to everybody out there. You prefer John and Susan. That's a great way to do it. Pause it like you said, and you cue up the radio broadcast, and you're good to go. Good advice.
Have a great idea with Giancarlo Stanton, Mike Stanton, whatever you want to call him. I'll call him whatever he wants me to at this point because he's so great in October. Mm-hmm. Sit him until September. I'll pay him whatever he wants. Sit him down until September.
Right.
Let's release that beast come September, and I think we'll all be happy.
Release that beef come September.
He said beast.
Beast. Oh, I thought he said beef.
Beast.
Because he's beefy. He's a beefcake.
Yeah, but he's not. When I think beefy, I think like a little hefty.
Yeah,
maybe,
no, you're
maybe
right.
Ate a little too much.
You're right.
Couldn't push away. I think beast, I think, man, that dude's jacked.
What about beefcake, though? Isn't a beefcake like a big, strong, sexy man?
Yeah,
Isn't Giancarlo a big, strong, sexy man?
Was Brutus the Barber beefcake big and sexy?
Not really.
Exactly.
No. Fine. Touche, you got me. You know what the problem with our last caller's point is? Because it's a great point in theory. We sit here in October. Giancarlo is clutch yet again. What else is new? And he very eloquently calls up Sports Talk Radio and says, hey, guys, I got a great idea. Why ever play this guy in the middle of the season? Just save him for October. Here's the problem. Because when the Yankees do that, you complain. These games matter. We have to win this game. Like when the Yankees sit guys, I have to hear whether it's from Sean or others, it's a punt lineup.
Right. You can't do that because you need him in certain moments of a season. Let's say that Judge is, I don't know, hampered or off, or Soto is the same. You need Judge. I mean, you need
because you got to get here.
You got, exactly.
Right.
You also have to get to this point. But Is it bad? I think you said this at the beginning of the season. Maybe Giancarlo Stanton is a platoon guy.
I did. I said that that could be a possibility. That turned out not to be true, by the way.
No.
Because Giancarlo has done a great job against righties and lefties.
Right.
But last year, his splits were overwhelming.
But when you said that, though, I was thinking of it more from a health standpoint.
Right.
Obviously, it was righty-lefty, but I'm thinking more, just be available. Right? And not, yeah, we can not use you for this road trip or three games or whatever it may be, but be available.
Well, and that's what they tried to do this year. If you take out the IL stint where he was hurt, he would sit once, twice a week.
Yes.
And there would be Yankee fans saying, hey, what are we doing? We have to take these regular season games seriously. And there's this balance you have to take between, yes, you want to respect the regular season. You want to win as many games as you can. You want home field advantage. The Yankees have that. I know that they're better on the road, and it's kind of funny, but you still prefer home field advantage,
of course.
And you got to earn that. So it's easy to say, hey, just shut him down till October, but then you'll complain about why he's not in the lineup on July 17th against Tampa.
Yeah, do you want to see the rest of this lineup in a best of three as opposed to a best of five? Because
no,
I don't.
You're right. Speaking of the lineup, one little quirk that I think needs to happen soon, and it's not a knock on anybody, it's the reality of the moment. Giancarlo Stanton needs to be the cleanup hitter.
I agreed.
He needs to now protect Aaron Judge. Austin Wells had an 0-for-5 yesterday. He had a good start because he did have a couple of hits and a couple of RBIs in the first two games of this series. It's not a knock on him, but I think Giancarlo protecting Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, that's what you want.
Right, at this stage of the season, it was good to have Austin Wells, who played so well for so much of this regular season, to be that cleanup hitter. But now get the guaranteed product.
Absolutely. It does complicate the lefty situation because you've got Wells and Chisholm, but I think you split them up with Anthony Volpe and you move. Kyle's in Nanuet. How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Just want to first off say, Tiki, I'm not a Giants fan, but you are one of my favorite players.
I appreciate you, dude. Thank you.
And, lifelong Yankee fan, but I actually bought Evan's Mets book.
Wow. I'm honored by that. Thank you.
I haven't read it yet, but I will.
All right.
My family thought I was crazy. Like, you want a Mets book? But anyway.
And you know what? You know what you tell them? There are a ton of Subway Series games in that book, and guess who wins most of the games? Not the Mets.
Yeah, probably the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wanted to talk about my views on the upcoming Yankees series, because it's the first time they're in the ALCS, not against the Astros. So I think that might be a plus. Yes. I don't know. Maybe it's wishful thinking.
No,
but
it's a plus, bro. It doesn't mean you're definitely going to win, but you are in a different
world.
No,
there's no guarantees.
Right.
But I think also, like you had said earlier, Judge got a nice double earlier. He was starting to hit the ball. Wasn't getting hits, but he was actually hitting the ball. So I think that might waken him up a little bit. I think we could be in good shape, but I'm still a little skeptical. I don't know.
Well, here's what, comparing their past LCSs to this one, I'll tell you a very major difference. The New York Yankees will be a better team, at least on paper, doesn't guarantee you anything, but they are the better team than whoever they face. Whether it's the Cleveland Guardians or it's the Detroit Tigers, the New York Yankees are better. That was never, ever the case when you played the Houston Astros. That's not me being a jerk. That's me telling you the truth. The Astros had home field advantage, they had better records during the regular season, and they were better. They were a better baseball team. You went into those series, I don't care what the odds said, your eyes told you you're an underdog because you were.
Right.
And you could have beat them in 2017, you could have beat them in 2019, 2022, there was no shot. Obviously, it ended in a sweep. In this upcoming ALCS, whether it's Detroit or it's Cleveland, the biggest difference is that you're better.
Right, you're supposed to win.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to. You're supposed to win. And should that be comforting? I mean, if you play up to your level of production from each of these guys, absolutely you're supposed to win. But it still doesn't make it easy.
The question is, in the four games the Yankees just played against the Kansas City Royals, they scored 14 runs. Mm. So let's do the math on that. 14 divided by 4 is 3.5. That's 3.5 runs per game. Is that good enough? Not really. In the last three games they played, they scored 3 runs. That's 2.67 runs per game. Is that good enough? Not really.
Nope.
Now, it is good enough if your starting pitching is going to be badass. Gerrit Cole was last night. It's going to be good enough if your bullpen continues to give up absolutely nothing. That continued last night when it got 6 more outs. But I think that overriding concern that you've always had, the offense in October, that didn't change in this 4-game series. What changed is that you pitched incredibly well. And I think the hope is, Juan Soto will do even more damage than what he did in this series, driving in just two runs. I think it was two runs he had. And Aaron Judge will get hot.
Yeah.
And if all that happens, along with Stanton, along with Gleyber, who's hit the ball well, maybe the Yankees score a lot of runs.
Maybe you don't need to score a lot of runs and save them getting hot for when it matters most.
When it matters most. We're pushing this down to the World Series now.
Absolutely. If you can skate by not playing, you said it yesterday, you can skate by not playing your best baseball, knowing that eventually your great players are going to be great players, that's all right, too.
Of course. At this point in the season, when you're in the postseason, it doesn't matter how you do it. Just win. It doesn't matter. Like, any idea of, yeah, we won, but I'm worried. No, you won. Doesn't matter how you win. Doesn't matter if you win 1-0, 18-1, or 11-10. And the Yankees were able to win enough games to move on, and now we sit back and watch. And I put a poll out at WFAN, the Evan Roberts WFAN, my social media account, just out of curiosity. Like, who do you want? I did this the other day with Met fans. I said, all right, Met fans, who do you want in the NLCS? And I was surprised that it was overwhelming. Wasn't even close.
Dodgers.
The LA Dodgers by a huge, huge number. And I get it. Like, I understand why you would prefer the LA Dodgers from a baseball standpoint. I guess I was just surprised that it was 70% of people saying that. So I put that poll out about 15 minutes ago. As a Yankee fan, who do you prefer playing in the ALCS? Yesterday was easy. You wanted the Tigers to lose so that there would be a fifth game. Have these teams beat each other up a little bit. Have their rotations affected. Do you have a preference, Sean?
Just telling Tommy, I really don't. I guess if I had to pick one, now that it's at a Game 5, bring on the Tigers.
Really? So you prefer the Tigers?
Mm. Scooble's pitching Game 5. Right. We're not going to get him again until Game 3. Let's go.
Yeah, By the way,
I don't know, but because the Guardians went, what, almost a game plus without scoring a run? Mm-hmm. Like, they got really anemic.
Their offense has been cool lately.
Yes. I want to make this clear. I don't fear the Guardians or the Tigers at this point, not the Yankees to climb this hurdle. I'm just saying if I had to pick at this point, Game 5, I guess the Tigers.
Yeah, I don't think you don't have to clarify that. Yeah. It feels like Met fans have to do that too. Like, I don't care. No, we get it. You don't care. We'll beat everybody, blah, blah, blah. There's a game tomorrow afternoon between the Cleveland Guardians and the Detroit Tigers. When you check your phone or you watch the game, what's your preference? Tonight, there's a baseball game between the LA Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. My oldest son, Jet, wants to score said game. When we sit down and score said game, who are we rooting for? Doesn't mean we're going to cry if the other team wins or loses, but there's always a preference when you watch sports. So you don't have to couch it, Sean, with, I'm not afraid of anybody.
I need that clear. You never know what's going to be revisited in a song open to start a show.
Yeah, we've shown you that's possible. If as an IBO, Independent Baseball Observer, I would tell you that I would prefer to play the Detroit Tigers for this reason. The Detroit Tigers are not that good. They're very, very hot at the right time. They're lucky. And I think with hot teams that come out of nowhere, like Detroit, eventually the slipper doesn't fit.
I think you're right.
Sometimes it's all the way in the World Series. Sometimes it's in the LCS. Maybe in this case, it happened in Game 4 when David Fry came to the plate and hit a two-run bomb. See, I was all over that game last night. Like, it ends at different points. So if I'm the Yankees, again, I agree with you. I wouldn't be fearful of anybody. Now I feel like I have to couch it too. But the Tigers just are not as good.
Right.
And they're just not.
Right. They have a great pitcher, and they're doing it on the wings of whatever is lifting them.
No, you know what's lifting them? And this should bother you, Yankee fans. That genius A.J. Hinch. Pinch hits every half inning. Yeah. Brings in relievers.
I mean, you got to do... I mean, it works.
It's worked
so
far.
Why it works? Because it keeps every player engaged.
It's also very tough to manage against a team in which the matchups are just so evolving.
Right. Like, when they change all the time.
When you have a really good team and you have your set lineup and you've got your aces, like, yeah, they're good, but you know what you're going into. You know who you're battling. When you're facing a team like the Detroit Tigers, it's like, I don't know when they're going to pitch it for that guy. Yeah.
What's our plan with this guy?
Yeah, right. Is the starter coming out after a half of an inning?
Can I get a mound visit, please?
Yeah. Now that is my preference. I want A.J. Hinch. That's my pound of flesh.
Oh, I got you. I got you into that now.
And I never even, like, crossed my mind. Yeah, he's part of the scumminess of what happened, too. Bring him on.
So your revenge on the Astros, since they got knocked out, is to beat the former manager of the Astros?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's fair.
And as a radio guy, which game is better, Guardian or character in Guardians of the Galaxy, or Tiger, and what would we use for Tiger? All I think of is Tiger King, but I feel like that show's controversial.
I don't know what your question is.
When we play the game.
When you play the like the Yankees versus whoever game.
Wait, what?
Can you name a player or can you name a guardian from the Guardian?
Oh, like when we were going to do Royal or Royals with Tiki, we're going to name a famous Royal or a Kansas City Royal?
Exactly. We never did that, so we're going to do it for the next round because nobody out there in the tri-state area has heard of anybody on the Guardians except for Jose Ramirez and Class A and the Tigers.
Well, here's
nobody
the real question.
Anybody.
Tiki, have you watched an inning of Tigers Guardians?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, we can play the game.
No.
I think Tiger or Tiger is probably the one to play. And no, it's Tiger or Zookeeper. Isn't that the game?
It can't be Tiger or Tiger. It can't be Bengal or, you know, Kerry Carpenter.
No,
no, but they name tigers at zoos.
That's true. But are there tigers at zoos named Kerry Carpenter?
Do they have full names or are they just, you know, like Lucy?
I'm sure. I don't know. This is stupid.
Is there a Parker Meadows tiger walking around?
Parker Meadows? Is that a real person?
Yes. He's Austin Meadows' brother. Remember Austin Meadows?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. Hey, Mario.
Hey, how you doing? Great show as always, guys.
Appreciate it.
You know, it's really funny. Look, we got to give the Yankees credit, especially management, for all of these things. It wasn't long ago that everybody was saying on every show, dump Stanton, dump Torres, right? They don't win the series without those two guys. They're losing the series.
You're right about that. You're right about that. But I also, I don't want to take ownage for dumping Stanton because I never wanted to dump Stanton. So I'll take my L's when necessary. But I always thought the idea of they have to dump Giancarlo Stanton never made any sense to me because you are going to have to pay a lot of money to send a baseball player away who, if you use the right way, can help you win. And I think that's one thing we forget in baseball. Even if a guy isn't what you thought they were going to be and they're greatly overpaid, don't feel obligated to have to use them the way that you thought you had to use them. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, Tiki made this reference earlier that during spring training, I was suggesting, hey, maybe they should use Stanton more as a platoon player.
Right. And that was really righties and lefties, but it's also health-wise.
Absolutely. But once Stanton proved his value this year and had a productive season, you play him more. Mm. You know, the situation changes. So I never understood the whole dump Stanton thing. The dump Glaber thing, I think, is a little bit different in terms of Glaber Torres makes mistakes that drive Yankee fans nuts. Now, he hasn't done that yet in the division series, and the hope is he won't do that in the ALCS, but he has come out, and he's hit, and he's been the perfect leadoff hitter for this team. I mean, in a lot of ways, when you look at last night's win, obviously we gave the flowers to Gerrit Cole and Luke Weaver and Aaron Boone, but offensively, the star of last night's Yankee game was Gleyber Torres. He starts the game off with a leadoff double. Your chances of scoring and giving Gerrit Cole a 1-0 lead when you have a runner on second and nobody out goes up big time. Then you jump to the fifth inning. It was the final batter Michael Wacha faced with two outs and runners in scoring position, and Gleyber Torres ripped a base hit. So he's been great, but I think the fear around Gleyber Torres is not that he can't hit. It's the fear that whether it's on the base paths or defensively, he's going to do something that's going to cost them. And that can still happen.
Right. And I think the other thing with Torres, it's a longevity thing. A longevity and not part of our future thing.
Yeah.
That's where the regular season hate for Gleyber Torres comes from.
More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And if you weren't able to listen to the sound from post-game celebrations, two things jumped out at me that we'll play for you when we come back. Gerrit Cole is really, really weird, and Giancarlo Stanton is more of a man than you even realize. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.